hello, and welcome to the Informed Traveler Podcast, part of the Informed Traveler Radio Show, heard each week on Chorus Radio. It's a travel podcast where our goal is to help you become a more informed traveler. And I'm your host, Randy Sharman. With Canada Day coming up, it's all about Canada this week. So in a few moments, we'll head to Charlottetown, Prince Edward Island, the place where Confederation began and home to the Fairholme Boutique Inns, a collection of 32 suites restored in four different heritage buildings that date back to 1838. And I actually stayed there a few years ago, and it really is a marvelous place to stay. Then later in the podcast, we'll get a feel for what our country is all about by chatting with Brandi Yanchik. She's the host and producer of the TV series Seeing Canada. In fact, there's a Seeing Canada marathon coming up on Canada Day, so we'll learn more about that as well. But let's begin our podcast talking about exploring the Canadian Rockies and talking with travel writer and author Debbie Olson, who is a contributing writer for Fodor's Canadian Rockies Guidebook. So Debbie joins us now to share her thoughts on the guidebook and exploring the Rockies in general. Her website is wanderwoman.ca. Hi, Debbie.
Hi, thanks for having me on your show.
Well, this guidebook just came out, right, just a few months ago, so it's quite up to date. Just tell us what parts you contributed to.
Well, I wrote the section called Travel Smart, and then I wrote the Banff chapter, the Jasper chapter, the Waterton chapter, the Canmore and Kananaskis chapters in the book.
So what's the best way to use this guidebook? I have this image in my mind of driving between Banff and Jasper up that beautiful highway and someone looking at the book saying, well, let's stop here, it recommends here. What's a good way to use the book?
That is one of the good ways to use it would be to look at, if you're making a plan for how you're going, what parts of the Canadian Rockies you're going to visit. And let's say you wanted to visit Banff and Jasper, for example, and you might just look at, okay, what are some of the main things that I could see in Banff, and what are some of the things I could see in Jasper, and what are some of the unique stops that I could make along the Icefields Parkway? And where might I stay, in the different locations, and what are, some of the restaurants? One thing that I'm really proud of about this book is we've got more Indigenous content in this book than I believe any other Canadian Rockies guidebook that's out there. So we've got an entire section on Indigenous experiences that you can have in the Canadian Rockies that range from everything from, a hike where you might see a pictograph to an actual Indigenous tour led by an Indigenous tour operator, like Warrior Women, for example, in Jasper. I did a medicine walk with Matricia Bauer in Jasper, and it was just an incredible experience. So there's that, and that information is hard to find sometimes. I also think there's some interesting information about the history and the geology of the Canadian Rockies that, it's kind of nice if you're going to a destination, you can find everything that you need all in one resource. And that's what I think this book does.
I'm always curious, though, how much editorial leeway do publications like Fodor's give you? Like, do they give you a general guideline and then you kind of go your own way? Or how does that work?
Well, because this was a new book, we decided, they asked our opinion on what we should include in this guidebook. And of course, we chose all of the standard, Waterton, Banff, Jasper. We've got the parks that are in British Columbia as well. That part was Yoho and Kootenay was written by Kate Robertson. And then we also included Calgary and Edmonton in there, small sections about them, because many of the people from out of province are going to fly into either Calgary or Edmonton. So it's good for them to know what they can see when they're in those cities. One of the things that we included in this one that you won't really find in any other guidebook that I found anyways is the Crow's Nest Pass. Nobody else included that, and I felt like that was a big miss because the Crow's Nest Pass is such a beautiful area and it has fascinating history. And the other thing, the way the Indigenous content happened is I was working on the Banff chapter, and I mentioned to my editor, Alexis Kelly, with Voters, I just said, you know, I think we should have an Indigenous land acknowledgement in this book. And then it kind of just blossomed from there. She, you know, pretty soon we were including a whole list of Indigenous operators. Then we were including a whole Indigenous history of the Canadian Rockies in there, which I would say that a lot of Albertans don't even know this, but when Jasper National Park and Banff became national parks, they physically removed all the Indigenous people who had homes within the park. They were just kicked out of their traditional territory. They weren't allowed to return. And it's one of the dark sides of the national parks, but I think it's important that we know about it and recognize that it happened. And honestly, now the Parks Canada is not only acknowledging Indigenous people, but working to establish those relationships again. Mm-hmm. And that's a positive thing. But I think that a lot of people don't even realize that within 2 years of the creation of Jasper National Park, all Indigenous people were removed. And some of them had log homes. Everything there, and they just had to up and leave. So anyway, that information is in there too, and other interesting historical information about the parks and information about flora and fauna and sites. So.
Packed full of information. It's the Fodor's Canadian Rockies Guidebook, and Debbie Olson is a contributing writer to the guidebook. You can find it on Amazon. That's where I found it, amazon.ca, if you want to order it. Or you can go to Debbie's website, wanderwoman.ca. We could go on, Debbie, and talk more, but time is our enemy, as always. I appreciate you doing this. Thank you.
Thank you for having me and for taking the time to do this. I appreciate it.
Well, Canada Day is coming up this week, and there's no better place to visit to learn about how this country came together than Charlottetown, Prince Edward Island, the place where Confederation began. And a great place to stay while you're there is at the Fairholme Boutique Inns, located in the heart of downtown Charlottetown. So joining us now to tell us more about the Fairholme Boutique Inns is Sam McMillan. He is the general manager of Fairholme Boutique Inns. Fairholmeinn.com is their website. Hi, Sam.
How's it going?
It's going very well. Tell me the story behind the Fairholme Boutique Inns. It sounds like a really fascinating story, and I have stayed there about 5 or 6 years ago, and it really is a wonderful property.
Yeah, it's absolutely beautiful, and I guess the story, I mean, it kind of goes back to a good 20, 25 years ago, and I'm only myself 26 years old right now, so when I was super young, my parents actually, Brooke and Gina McMillan, they would have been the ones that had purchased the original Fairholme building, and the original Fairholme building there is our National Historic Landmark, and that's kind of what we named our whole property after. I mean, within the last 10 years or so, or last, I guess, 5 years or so, to be a little bit more particular, we've really expanded down the block and have essentially kind of moved down and taken over the rest of the buildings as we've went down. And now we've kind of grown to four different buildings, including our original Fairholme building, about 34 rooms in total. They all vary from different formats and size. We have our National Historic Landmark, which is Fairholme, and then we have Hillhurst, which is a beautiful Victorian mansion. It was built in 1897. It's kind of like our hub of our operations. We run everything out of there. We also have our carriage house, which would have been built about 8 years ago at this point, and that's where you would have stayed when you were with us. And then kind of nestled in the center is really the last thing, the last piece of our puzzle, which is our Cranford House, and kind of gives you like a more beach feeling to it. We have about 10, 11 suites in there, and they all have like beautiful decks and balconies, and kind of known for their garden space as well.
Well, and it really is a unique and fascinating property. Like you said, you have the buildings themselves are amazing, and you get to your suite, and it's like a mini apartment. Like you really do it upright.
Yeah, exactly. You're bang on with that. And you know, those apartments and in our carriage house there, they're really unique in the sense that they're designed for, like, you know, if you're staying for a longer stay, maybe larger parties, families, stuff like that, right? So we kind of allows us and gives us the ability to accommodate almost any type of customer or guest that's looking to stay with us, which really helps in our sense.
Mm-hmm. And you know, and that goes to say too that it's not a fancy place as far as amenities. Like, I don't recall there's a pool there or a spa, or so if you're looking for that type of thing, you can probably point them in other directions, right?
Yeah, for sure. That's definitely not what I guess I would call as our core competency. Like, what we do here that we find is a little bit different is, you know, we kind of pride ourselves on this as well. And it's kind of a slogan that we had come up with over the course of the last few years, but it's really experience true island hospitality. And that's kind of what we're trying to do here. Like, the best thing that we do is kind of cut down the barrier between your standard customer and then, you know, front desk clerk experience. And, mm-hmm. and by that, I mean, you know, you're not going in and saying, okay, Sam McMillan, you're in room 301, you know, here's your key card, elevators that way, right? there's a lot more to it than that. And yeah, we're creating more of an experience. And I think that's just what makes us a little bit more unique. And yeah, no pool, but we have a beautiful courtyard and our space down here, you know, second to none.
Mm-hmm. Well, you don't need a pool because you're not that far from the waterfront.
Exactly. Yeah, we're right there.
The location, yeah, is amazing. You can literally walk just about anywhere you want to see Charlottetown, right?
Absolutely. Yeah, and that's the nice thing as well, is we're right downtown. So to your point, you can walk anywhere, leave your vehicle. We're always getting people to walk. But then the other thing as well is because of this historic property, like, we have these beautiful trees. I'm sure that you remember that mm-hmm. almost around our whole property. So although you are right downtown, like, you kind of do get that secluded feeling that goes along with the property. So you do have that privacy. And when you're sitting in the center of our courtyard, whether you're by the fire or just on one of, you know, the deck balconies or anything like that as well, you know, you do have that feeling of privacy at the same time.
Mm-hmm. And we should say, I do recall that you did offer breakfast. So there is some things that you do offer guests too.
Absolutely, yes. So out of our Hillhurst building, like I was kind of saying, that's kind of where we run everything out of. So we have 9 rooms in there, but what we also do is we serve our breakfast out of there, and we do a hot serve breakfast in the morning time. It's awesome. That's one of the things that we really push for, making just as equal part of the experience as someone's stay. But yeah, we have these 2 beautiful dining rooms, this awesome deck patio that we would have built about kind of a funny story behind that. And I guess I'll give you the rundown on that. But mm-hmm. when my family had purchased this property, they had found this old picture of Hillhurst. And Hillhurst is old. Like, you know, Fairholme is built in 1838. Hillhurst is built in 1897. And in this picture they found was this beautiful deck patio that was attached to the building. Of course, when we had bought the property, it wasn't there. So we had gotten someone come in and essentially bring back into shape this beautiful deck patio, which I'm actually sitting on right now having this conversation with you. And yeah, that allows us to serve about 30 more people in the morning for breakfast. So we won a PEI Heritage Award for kind of replicating the old style deck that was out here. And yeah, we do upwards of 80, 85 people now in the morning for breakfast amongst our entire property. So definitely a busy operation in the morning time.
Nice. So where do the majority of your guests come from? Do you get a lot of people from Canada, or do you get a lot of people from overseas?
Yeah, you know, they're kind of all over. Europe, Australia, Asia as well. I've actually spoken to a fair amount of guests today that were from the Maritimes. And, you know, you don't get a lot of people from the Maritimes. A lot of people from the States right now. Mm-hmm. Switzerland, you know, it's from all over, and that's kind of what makes the job so nice, right? You get to meet all these different people, all these different personalities. They're coming as visitors. They're telling you about about their hometown as well. The differences, I mean, you know, everyone's saying, if you're ever in Sweden, you know, if you're ever in Switzerland, if you're ever here, come stay with me. You have a spot for me. So that's cool, too.
And how is the summer looking? Are you getting bookings? Like, are you full booked, fully booked for the summer? How's that looking?
Yeah, not for the summer, but, I mean, for these next 5 days here, like I was kind of saying, we have 34 rooms across our property. So these next 5 days, we're completely full. And, you know, our June has been one of the better years we've seen yet. July and August, yeah, it's pretty booked up in those dates, too. I mean, you're going to find your dates here and there. Like right now, your Monday, Tuesday, Wednesdays are a little quiet. However, it would be a little bit more difficult to find a room on those weekend days, especially starting like a Thursday, Friday, Saturday, especially with some of the events that are happening here on PEI. And there's so much going on here now, which is so nice to see after the last couple of years.
Well, and you got Canada Day coming up on Friday. I'm sure there's lots of celebrations going on for that as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, like, the whole town itself, and I know, like, Discover Charlottetown, I'll give a shout-out to them. They do a ton of work to really push Charlottetown and PEI in general. They try and help create a lot of experiences, and we've worked with them. You can find them on Instagram, just Discover Charlottetown, but they're awesome. We've done events on our property, and kind of if you see online in our pictures, our space is great for holding events, weddings, shoots, anything like that. Kind of back to my comment, being in the center of Charlottetown, but having that secluded location, right?
Well, it is an absolutely great place to stay. The location's fabulous. The Fairholme Boutique Inns, you can find out so lots of information on their website, fairholmeinn.com. And Sam McMillan is the general manager of the Fairholme Boutique Inns. Appreciate your time, Sam. Thank you so much.
Of course, no problem. Thanks for having me.
Well, there's no question that Canada is a large country to explore, and to see every part of it would probably take you a lifetime. And that's why shows like Seeing Canada are great. It allows all of us to see and learn about Canada. So joining us now is the host and creator of Seeing Canada, Brandy Yanchuk. Her website is brandyyanchuk.com. Hi, Brandy.
Hi.
Give me some background on your series, Seeing Canada. It's a couple of seasons now, and you've got the Seeing Canada Marathon that we're going to talk about coming up on Canada Day. But how did the whole series come about?
Absolutely. Well, thanks for inviting me first to speak with you. My show, Seeing Canada, started in 2017, and I did the first season, which is 6 episodes. And then in 2019, I did the second series. And then season 3 is coming out now for Canada Day. And so we've got 18 episodes. Seeing Canada is airing on Amazon Prime, PBS stations, and also CPAC. And it has also aired on Air Canada, WestJet, Eva Air, Tubi TV, all these different wonderful places. So I've been very fortunate. In 2017, I decided that I wanted to take my skills, which I had learned from doing the BBC's travel show on BBC World TV, and make my own show. And I worked with my distributor, who brings my projects to PBS stations, and they said, let's do it. So I made the first season, and I went to every province and territory in 2017. I had amazing experiences. The first episode, I went to Nemo Bay and Manitoulin Island. Second episode, I went to Saskatoon and Winnipeg. Third episode, Lake Louise and Niagara Falls. The fourth episode, Western Newfoundland and the Northwest Territories. The fifth episode, Nunavut and Yukon. And then the sixth one, I went to PEI, New Brunswick, Nova Scotia, and Quebec. So that was a huge task. I'm the writer, director, producer, and host. And the response was fantastic on PBS stations. And they wanted more people to see the show. So I did a second season. And again, I went to every province and territory in Canada for season 2. And I had lots of very fun northern experiences. I sort of stress that because I've been fortunate enough to have a lot of remote experiences. And then the third season is a little bit different because we had some restraints because of the pandemic. So every every episode is just focused on one province. So coming up on Canada Day, the first episode is called Wines and Islands in British Columbia, and I go through the Gulf Islands and parts of Vancouver Island on an expedition vessel with Maple Leaf Adventures, and it's a lot of fun, and learn about wineries and that kind of stuff. And then the second episode for season three is all about Black history in southwestern Ontario, and I learn about the Underground Railroad and the history of the freedom seekers who came to Canada and helped build this large, vibrant Black community in the country. We visit lots of different museums, including the famous Uncle Tom's historic site, which you have probably heard of the book Uncle Tom's Cabin, and that is connected to the Josiah Henson Museum of African Canadian History. They just changed the name, so that's what it's called now. And then we go to Quebec, and we have a French and Indigenous culture experience in Quebec. And then Toronto, we go to Kensington Market, and we have like a big foodie culinary experience in Toronto. And then the fifth episode, I go to Stanley Park and have an Indigenous tourism experience there. And then I go to Surrey and I have I explore the Spice Trail. And then the final one is Banff National Park. And I try out the open top touring vintage style automobiles, go to the hilarious Grizzly House and learn about the wild history of that place. And then I have an Indigenous experience with Mohican Trails with Brenda Holder. So that's what's coming on offer for season three.
Well, that's amazing. You put on a lot of miles, it sounds like. And we both know that this is such a huge country. And for every place that you pick, there's probably 10 or 20 that are going, how come you didn't pick us? So how do you decide where to go?
Well, I guess the first thing is I say to the different tourism departments who I'm meeting with at conferences, and I have a relationship with them, I speak to them about story ideas, and I say, okay, this is what works for the show. Every episode, I want an Indigenous tourism experience, which has been a huge success, I'll tell you, especially for my educational distributor, because the schools, I work with McIntyre Media and also ProQuest or Alexander Street in the States. But McIntyre Media ended up cutting all the Indigenous experiences into their own short videos. And then during the pandemic, students were watching them. So that was something that I never foresaw would happen. But in the end, it was like something very different, right? It actually fed a different audience, you know, kids in school. And then I also say, okay, what else works well? Diversity works well. So I like to show lots of different cultures. So I'll say to them, okay, find me a business where we have a diverse culture. We have somebody who is from a different place, has moved to Canada, and they've done something extraordinary. So in Toronto, we actually cook with Syrian refugees at the Newcomer's Kitchen, which is really fun. And then on the Spice Trail, that was very fun in Surrey because we went to two different Indian restaurants and learned about how to make butter chicken poutine, which is really good, and some other South Indian food. And I also like adventure. So anything with some adventure that I think that my viewers will like, I'll go on in nature.
Well, and it's kind of like asking a parent who their favorite child is. But do you have a favorite story that kind of stands out or a destination that really kind of surprised you? You weren't expecting what you found out?
Well, I would say, honestly, I'm going to focus on season three. I would say the Black history in southwestern Ontario blew me away because we went to Amherstburg Freedom Museum. We went to the Buxton National Historic Site and Museum, the Chatham-Kent Black Historical Society and Black Mecca Museum. And then, like I mentioned before, Uncle Tom's Historic Site, which is now called the Josiah Henson Museum of African Canadian History. That surprised me the most. Because I got to learn about the Underground Railroad in a way that I didn't really learn about in school. I got to learn about how the people that survived the Underground Railroad, imagine there's a lot of freedom seekers who didn't survive. The ones who did come by cover of night, like escaping, it was so terrifying. And they came to Canada and they started their own communities and schools. And I just found that fascinating. And we have all this history in southwestern Ontario. The museums are there to see, and it's Canada's history. It's not just Black history, it's Canada's history. And it's so fascinating. Like, I was blown away by it. And also the woman, Shannon, who runs the Buxton National Historic Site and Museum, is such a hoot and so interesting. and lovable. You'll see when you watch the show. I think it's the best segment of the whole entire third season. Like, she is just wonderful. We talk about serious stuff, but we also have fun together and celebrate the Black history in that community where she lives in Buxton. So I think, see, like, episode two really was a surprise for me, I would say, because as I started digging deeper, I was like, wow, we have a lot of museums dedicated to Black history and the Underground Railroad that I didn't know anything about.
Well, it's the Seeing Canada Marathon. It's coming up on Canada Day. Remind our listeners where they can watch it again.
Yeah, so I've been fortunate enough to work with CPAC, which is the parliamentary channel where you see all that sort of stuff to do with the government. But they also show Seeing Canada, and they've shown every single season. And on Canada Day, they're doing a Seeing Canada Marathon, and they'll be showing season three, and I think season two, maybe season one, but I'm not sure. They've shown it a lot. And then if you have Amazon Prime, you can watch season one and two now. I'm waiting for season three to see if it's going to be put on Amazon Prime. And then PBS stations. So we're talking KSPS or KCTF9, which you probably get if you have cable. They are showing Seeing Canada. So you just have to look and see when PBS is showing it.
Yeah.
And those are the places. Or you can also always watch it on my website, which is brandyyanchik.com. Or Brandy Y Productions. You just Google me, and I'm the only one out there with that name. Well, that I know of.
Well, you are Brandy Yanchik. It was fun chatting with you, filmmaker and journalist and creator of the series Seeing Canada. Again, brandyyanchik.com is her website. Fun chatting with you, Brandy. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me on your show. And yeah, I think one thing that's really important for the audience to know is that this is a family-friendly show. Yeah, we do drink alcohol in the show, and I do taste beer and stuff, but there's nothing in the show that I would be scared to show children. And I think a lot of children actually enjoy watching it with their family because it's something they can all sit around and enjoy together, all different ages.
Thanks, Brandy.
Thank you. You take care.
And that is this week's Informed Traveler podcast. Remember, this is the podcast version of the Informed Traveler radio show, which is heard each week on Chorus Radio. You can find more information on the show at our website, theinformedtraveler.org. So thanks for listening. If you like what you hear, let us know, leave a review, tell a friend, or you can drop me a line. My email is randy@theinformedtraveler.org. You can also like us on Facebook at facebook.com/informedtraveler or follow me on Twitter at informedtraveler.
I'm not just a pawn in this game.
Three nights a week on Global.
They're putting targets on their back. Massive.
Drama.
I guess you could say I'm in a showman.
They're just so in love and so annoying. Enough.
Betrayal.
The guy just put up his best friend now.
And plot twists.
What is happening right now?
You'll never see coming.
If you're coming for me,
this is perfect.
I'm coming for you then.
It'll be a battle.
Like, it'll be war.
Big Brother Canada. All new Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Sundays on Global. Stream on Stack TV.